It is the regular football season, the real football season. It's a big one. It's going to be loud. It's at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota Vikings, the Skull, the Purple. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are trying to just rebound. They're rebuilding. What's it going to be like? What's Baker Mayfield going to be like? How's it going to work? Todd Bowles is under pressure already. Number one, if you try to bet, he's on the hot seat. His seat is hotter than anybody else. There's always, you never know what's going to happen. That's why they play the game. Yes, the Minnesota Vikings won 13 games last year, but they won by such of a small margin so many games. They lost a couple guys. Their defense wasn't good. They bring in Brian Flores. The Buccaneers' defense is going to be their strength. How are you? I'm Rock Roddy, and this is Bucs Kickoff on the biggest, baddest Buccaneer information website in the world, JoeBucsFan.com. And I got to tell you, Joe Bucs Fan also likes to party, and so do I. The Sage, Ira Kaufman, the Pro Football Hall of Fame contributor, the writer, the instigator, the entertainer, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman, and yours truly are going to be at the Joe Bucs Fan Bucs Vikings watch party at Big Storm Brewing. It's their tap room in Clearwater. Beautiful place. Been there. Always had a good time. 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. So fired up Buccaneer fans. Ira Kaufman will be in the house. So will I. And we're going to have a great time. You can sit outside on the large, fully covered Big Storm patio. Or if you want to go indoors, you want to get the AC, you got that. Either way, tremendous to watch the Buccaneers. No better place. It's Florida's best craft beer. They've got it on tap. It's a full bar. They got an A-plus menu. If you want to know what kind of beers they have and the menu before you go, you can check that all out at BigStormBrewery.com. Come join the fun on Sunday. Ira Kaufman and yours truly. The Sage is going to roll in around 11:45 a.m. It's a Bucs-Vikings kickoff at 1 o'clock. The only place to be. Big Storm Tap Room in Clearwater. Let's go. Let's party. Let's frickin' go. All righty. This is a big one to start it off because now it's for real. No more talk. No more 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Oh, this week Kyle Trask was better than Baker Mayfield and all that. That's out the window, man. Now it is real. All right? If you're gambling, the Vikings are favored by 6, the over-under 45.5. Yes, the Vikings should be favored going into this game. They were 13-4 last year. Second season as head coach Kevin O'Connell. Now, on Thursday, inside that Buccaneer locker room, I was Mike Evans. What he was asked about Brian or Kevin O'Connell from the Vikings. His eyes got big. He had a big smile. It wasn't the contract situation talk. He's like, I got a good relationship with him. When he was getting ready for the combine, he was working with Kevin O'Connell, or O'Connell was working with them. O'Connell was opening up some gyms and things like this for Mike Evans. He's got a really good relationship. So he is an offensive mind. Todd Bowles, in his second year now, on the hot seat, let's call it like it is. It's hot already. He's the defensive guy. He's the defensive coordinator. It's a new Buccaneer offense. What are we going to see in this bad boy, in this wild environment in Minnesota under Dave Canales? Baker Mayfield, you know, this is it. This is his last chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he knows it. Now, when Baker Mayfield had that nice dinner, and it was for his foundation, and his wife said that she has never seen him as fired up as he is right now. So I asked him on Wednesday this week, what did your wife mean about that? Why are you so fired up? He says because he has said this many times. He said this many times this offseason. This Buccaneer team, this organization wants to win. A lot of guys on this team won a Super Bowl. They're still here. Some organizations aren't about that. Now, he was taking shots, this and that, whatever, but he's not old, he's not 30, he's healthy. Yeah, he's short, he's not Kyler Murray short, he's got really strong legs. I've watched him in so many of these practices, he's got a cannon. He's got an arm, but he's also a gunslinger. He's going to throw it into double coverage. That's him. And I'll get into my Under the Rock segment, which I'm going to do, and it's more behind the scenes. What were they saying in the locker room? What did I observe? What did Mike Evans say when he was in the huddle? He is in the huddle with Baker Mayfield. I'll get to that. But anyway, the Buccaneers could not run last year. Now they've been preaching they're going to run it more, and they're going to be more efficient. And Brady would say it over and over again. The GOAT would say it, and he's right. It's a pass-a-thon, and you can't win when it's a pass-a-thon in the NFL because the opposing defenses, if you're one-dimensional and you're just throwing it, you're not going to win. You're not going to win and be consistent. So they couldn't run it last year, and let's face it, the Buccaneers were led by their defense, and that's how I'm going to see it. In this game, the Buccaneers defense, and all we got to go on, it's really hard to go into matchups and everything because we're only going off of what happened last year, and then it's hard to judge practices. Let's call it like it is. But the Buccaneers defense limited opponents to less than 20 points in 8 games last season, and obviously they were good. They went 7-1. The Buccaneers defense, since Todd Bowles has been defensive coordinator, 5th in the NFL in sacks, 5th in takeaways, okay? Joe Bucks fan found a great stat this week. 39.8% of the drives against the Bucks last year ended without a first down or a touchdown. That is incredible. The Buccaneers D allowed a league low 27 yards per drive. That was the best in all the NFL. So again, going into this game, try to contain Justin Jefferson. Try to contain a Kirk Cousins. You like that? He was pretty damn good at the end of last season. In weeks 12 through 18, Cousins led the NFL yards per game in passing. He had a 102 passer rating, 102.1, 17 points higher than in weeks 1 through 11. Now, the Vikings for this game have not changed their offense much. Yeah, they brought in a couple of additions. They lost a couple of guys. But again, it's still going to be O'Connell calling the plays. Same system. Cousins is in it. And Cousins was pretty damn good, man. Bowles was telling us he's good deep, he's good short, he knows when to get rid of it, he's a veteran. A lot of the Buccaneer players in that locker room on defense, watching the tape, they were there. Everyone says he's been around, he's seen a lot, and he is still damn good. He really is. All righty, now, the Buccaneers, a little bit more on the defense. They're 9th in the NFL in total yards, last year anyway, 9th in the NFL in total yards allowed, and 9th in the NFL in passing yards allowed. Don't give Cousins time. He's that good because he knows this offense this well that if you're not like at least pressuring him, he's going to pick you apart. He's going to hit the open man, all right? He's going to hit Justin Jefferson. He's going to hit Hockenson, TJ, the tight end that made a whole lot of money. He's going to hit the rookie, Jordan Addison. They really like him. What also I'm really curious, man, really curious for this game, who is Baker Mayfield? Who are we getting in this game against the Vikings? Are we getting a little bit of that younger Baker Mayfield, the 26 touchdown, 8 interception, playoff Browns, Baker Mayfield? Or are we getting the Mayfield that's been kicked around, turnover machine, injured? Now, he's not injured. It's from what he's not injured, so he's coming into this thing healthy. And like I said, it's his last chance, and he knows this, to be the starter in the NFL. If he loses his job to Kyle Trask, then he will be carrying a clipboard, kind of like a Sam Darnold, one of those guys that's just going to be, he'll be forever a backup. And for a guy that's got the swagger, for a guy that's a little cocky, that's not going to work out. So this is it. They've given him the job. He has earned it over Trask. I know we got a lot of Trask fans in this Joe Bucks fan offense. I get it. Not only Gators, he's big, he's got a decent arm, but let's face it, Mayfield has more experience. Mayfield's got the swagger. Mayfield was an overall number one pick. You're not an overall number one pick and not be good. And so this is Baker Mayfield's time right now, and I'm concentrating on this Joe Bucks fan Bucks kickoff this game. The Vikings, this is a new defense, especially the secondary for this bad boy. The Vikings allowed the second most passing yards all of last year in the NFL. Now, on the Buccaneers defense, where's their strength? Their strength is edge rushers. They got six of them. If you look at last year, the leading who do you think was the leading sack leader for the Buccaneers? Was it an edge rusher? No. It was Vita Vea with 6.5. Shaq Barrett is coming off the Achilles. He's coming off of what happened with his little daughter. Now, he did say, and I've seen him, and I can nowhere compare. I can't even compare to losing a child. I can't imagine it. I lost my wife to cancer a long time ago back in Jersey. And when I went through that, I got a job back in TV because I hadn't been in, when I got my job, that was my oasis, like being in covering sports. That's what I do. And I actually think when Shaq Barrett is on the field, and he even said that, he's busy. He's playing. He's trying to get to the quarterback. He's sweating. The next play, you're playing, and you're not thinking. When he has a lot of time, that's when things are really hard. And another thing, not only that, like he's coming off an Achilles. You can't expect him to be the Shaq Barrett of 2019, 2021. 2019, 2020, and 2021, he had 41.5 sacks. So whatever you get from him early in the season, to me, is icing on the cake. How about Joe Tryon Soyinka? Coaches were telling us year three is the year you should start to blossom. You don't have to think anymore. You should know what's going on. This is the same defense. This should be the year where he finishes. He's been getting to the quarterback with his athleticism. This should be a big game for Joe Tryon Soyinka. All right, now what if this is where I'm going? This is what I bring to Joe Bucks fans, Bucks Kickoff Podcast. I'm there. I'm in the locker room. I'm there on the field. I'm watching. I'm observing. I'm listening. Some of the things. This is my under the rock segment. Devin White. We talked to Devin White on Thursday. He's all in. And I've watched him during training camp, watched him during practices. He's got the energy. I know he demanded the trade. I know he puts out crazy stuff on Instagram and makes you think, and does he want to be somewhere else? I can tell you when he gets on the field. Somebody did get into his head, and he even said this the other day. I'm blessed to be playing. I'm healthy. I'm in a good defense. And so he's going to get his, whether it's here or whether it's someplace else. And he not only is he saying that, like, I can see that. I'm expecting him to have a good season. He said he had his best camp, this camp, than any other year that he's been in the NFL. He also said that he thinks that the offense is going to carry the defense in this game, that the offense is playing better than the defense because he's seeing all this movement. He's seeing a lot different offense than when the GOAT was here. I'm just telling you what he was telling us. So I don't think there's any kind of a problem. If you read, oh, Devin White, is he going to be into it? Oh, he wanted to be somewhere else. No, he knows he's going to get paid if he produces, and he's next to Levante David. He knows the offense or defense. He's going to be good. I actually think he's going to be good. He's been a liability. He said he's worked on his footwork. He's worked on a lot of his game this offseason. A lot of his game. And I'm hoping that would be past defense. You know, because there's been times where he has been a liability in pass coverage. He doesn't look quite as thick. He looked a little too thick to me last year. So again, that's from Devin White. On Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans. Now, Mike Evans was in front of us on Thursday. It was very unusual on Wednesday. It was surreal. We go in the locker room, Chris Godwin. The stars that everybody wants to talk to, they bring them to the middle of the locker room. They have a Buccaneers backdrop, and you ask questions there. The rest of the guys, you go to their locker. Chris Godwin comes over, always good. He's talking to us. Godwin is, okay, we're around Godwin. Godwin is looking out to us. He's got the backdrop, and there's two big TV monitors. One is on ESPN. The other one is on NFL Network. And while Godwin is talking to media, the headline, and there was a talking head and video of Mike Evans, and it was Mike Evans demands a trade. Not demand a trade. Mike Evans demands, the deadline is set for Saturday, the day before they play the Bucs. Will Mike Evans get a new deal? And that's what's on the screen. Evans is looking, he's answering questions about Evans, Godwin is, and he kept looking up. He kept looking up like, this is surreal. NFL Network, the world is watching. That's the topic. I'm being asked it right here in the locker room. But again, says all the right things. If when you're a professional at this level, once you get on the field, you play, regardless of what your agent and the two sides are doing. But on Mike Evans, other than that stuff, and he said, this is the last time I'm going to talk about it. I am playing. I'm playing in this game. I'm not holding out. I'm going to play this season. I'm looking forward to this season. I'm in the best shape that I've been in. Every year I look to get into better shape. He learned a lot from Brady, what Brady eats, watching how Brady does things. Evans had a damn good camp, and Joe Bucks fan was there every single day. Lee, one of the Joes, and he watched every play. And you can ask Lee. Lee's talked about it on Sage's podcast or written it many times. This was Mike Evans' best camp by far. And he said he also didn't want to put Baker Mayfield in a lurch, like coming in and new and like he's not there. So Godwin is healthy. Evans is healthy. That's a damn good 1-2 punch. Evans was asked, what is it like in the huddle with Baker Mayfield? You know what Evans said? He goes, he doesn't care. I was like, oh, that's gonna be taken out of context. He goes, he doesn't care, meaning if he throws a pick, guy runs a wrong route, there's a sack, he comes back, he moves on. That's a great trait to have. And I thought that that was interesting. Of the other things that he said about Baker Mayfield, that's good, because Mayfield's known to have some turnovers, right? Am I right? You know I'm right. Now, Wirfs, when we talked to big left tackle Tristan Wirfs, I was there during mini camp when Wirf said that he actually had to see a psychologist, that he was having a hard time realizing when he knew that he was going to have to move from right tackle to left tackle. He was having some sleepless nights. It was in his head. I got to do everything opposite. And he actually had to talk to somebody about it. But I'll tell you what. Now, we won't know until this game when it's real. But he is so athletic, I think he's going to be fine. He is the least of my worries on the offensive line. The right side, to me, is a concern. Because Cody Mark played in a small-time competition. I know he did good. I know he did good in the Senior Bowl. I know he showed versatility. They're banking on him. And Luke Getteke, I am concerned about the right side of the offensive line. So let's see how this first week works out. But Dave Canales, the new offensive coordinator, is very likable, has a ton of energy. Every time I see him, he's running. When we went to the joint practices for the Jets versus the Bucs, and then day number two, they used the Giants facility. Every practice, Leftwich used to take walking laps. Canales runs, and I mean a good speed. This guy, some of the players are saying they think he's in as good a shape as them. When there's the end of a drill, Canales, not one of the assistants, sprints and picks up the dummies and sets it up and helps sets it up. He's playing like he's a DB, like what Chucky used to do. If when he's out there and he's on the defensive side and they're running some of these drills for the quarterbacks, he will, if the receiver comes near him, he'll boom. He'll use his clipboard or he'll hit him or something like that. He's, you know, Leftwich didn't do that. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that that's going to make him a good offensive coordinator. But he's bringing the energy. But the thing about it is, I take it with a grain of salt when you ask Canales about the game plan. You ask him about players. He likes everybody. He likes all of his linemen. He loves all of his receivers. He loves his QBs. He loves Wolford. He loves everybody. So you got it. You can't love everybody. He loves everybody. What I'm curious to see in this game, how does he do calling plays? Now it's a game. Now I will say that he's never called plays. He's never been a play caller with the headset on in a game. And I know Todd Bowles says, well, you got to start somewhere. You know, when I was a defensive coordinator, I had to start somewhere. Yeah, but this is right now. This is against the Minnesota Vikings. This is 2023. You're on the hot seat. This is now. And he is starting fresh. Now, during training camp, most offensive coordinators are out with their big clipboard or their cards or their spreadsheets, and they're out by the quarterback and they're telling them the plays. He would stand off to the side, have his walkie-talkie, and he's calling in the plays to Mayfield and Trask in the headset so he would get used to it. And he also admitted after the first game, he goes, that's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of times you want to see things. And yet you got to be so focused on calling. So let's see how this works. But that's my take on Canales. Very positive guy. He turned around Geno Smith when everybody thought Geno Smith sucked, you know, and he did a fantastic job and he blew Bowles away in the interview. Bowles didn't even know him. Who gets a job in this business as one of the coaches for a head coach that the head coach doesn't know? GM doesn't really know. Did he just blows you away? That rarely happens, but it happened. And I like him, but results-oriented business, that's where we are. So there we are. One more thing, what my Under the Rock segment, what I noticed. It was noticeable to me mostly during mini camp. You know, Brady's not there. You know, the GOAT isn't there. And then once you get into the dog days of training camp, these players, they're young guys. Their attention span, they're thinking about now. They're thinking about money, contracts, staying in the league, chicks, all that jazz. Right? And so Brady's long gone now. Long gone. I got a little thing on Brady, but Brady's long gone. And honestly, training camp, it didn't seem any different. And when I watched the practices this week, now again, when we went to practice, the first one was Wednesday. They had one on Sunday. They had Wednesday and Thursday. It wasn't that much different. It really wasn't. And you can't get too pumped up on a Wednesday, Thursday, because the game isn't until Sunday. You got to fly to Minnesota. So it's not like high school. I remember one time Mike Allstott, the grade A train, he said to us, like, they'd be like, what's your pregame? Well, you know, what do you do, man? What kind of music do you have in your headphones? What do you do? And Evan, and I mean, I remember Allstott looked at us and he goes, this isn't high school. This isn't the movies. We're not banging our heads in the lockers. You know, this is the NFL. We're grown ass men. So it really wasn't that much of a difference. That wears off with Brady gone. You know, I did notice that they had the crowd noise this week playing during warmups. Usually you don't have the crowd noise playing until they go 7-on-7, 11-on-11 to simulate the loud crowd. The last 2 years, they've played crowd noise even when they're going to have a game at home at Raymond James Stadium. But I did notice that. I'm like, oh, they're playing it. And it wasn't overly loud, but it was something a little different than I hadn't seen in previous years. All right, we're going to get here to some of these matchups. I just don't know about you, man, but I'm just so fired up that it's the NFL regular season. I am just so fired up. I also do want to tell you about, if you don't have any plans and it's a last minute thing, hey, I'm fly by night. I'm always last minute. And it always turns out to be the most fun. Every time I'm last minute when I didn't plan it. Check out the Joe Bucks Fan Vikings Bucks Watch Party. It's at the Big Storm Brewing Company Tap Room in Clearwater. It's off of 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Fired up Buccaneer fans are going to be fired the frick up. So is the Sage Ira Kaufman walking around. I'll be there as well. You can sit outside. It's a huge, if you've never been there, fully covered Big Storm patio. It's great. They got the fans. They got the TVs. A lot of room. You can bring your dogs. Or you can go indoors. Either way, indoor, outdoor, great place to watch the Tampa Bay Buccos. Florida's best craft beer is on tap. The Brumosas. Whatever your fancy is. They have a full bar. It's not just beer, and the menu, it's so mouthwatering. It's A+. Check out the beers and the menu. Go to the website, bigstormbrewery.com. Come join the fun on Sunday. The Sage is going to roll in about 11:45. It's Bucks Vikes kickoff, 1 o'clock. I'm going to be there. Sage is going to be there. Big Storm Tap Room, Clearwater, 49th Street. Let's do it. Let's party. Let's have a blast, man. Let's enjoy every single stinking game at Big Storm for these Buccaneer games. All right, some of the matchups to watch out for, okay? The stud on the Vikings is Justin Jefferson. I mean, I think he's got 4,825 yards. What's that, 3 years? He's close to 5,000 yards. Their tight end, TJ Hockenson, he got paid 4 years, 68 mil. And their first round pick out of USC, Jordan Addison. What makes Justin Jefferson so good? Everybody in that Buccaneer locker room on defense that I talked to this week said he is a great route runner. He gets opened even when he's double teamed. He is that good. It's because, and silky smooth. That's how one of the defensive coaches, you don't know what he's going to do. Sometimes he turns on the jets. Sometimes he comes out slow. Sometimes he comes out like a house of fire. Sometimes he'll make the spin move, double move. He is a great route runner and disguises his route when he's coming out of the break. That's what makes him so good. And that is going to be up to Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis. Yeah, both of you dudes, because Justin Jefferson moves. He comes at you from both sides. All right. So that's a matchup I'm looking forward to. It all starts up front. It always does. That Buccaneer offensive line. Hainsey at center. The right side, which I'm worried about. Cody Mauch and Gedeke. Left side with Matt Filer. He's big. He's the former Charger. He's been around the block a little bit, but he's not washed up. And you got Wirfs. I'm not concerned about Wirfs. I'm not. So, I mean, it's a totally different offense with movement. If they want to rush it, okay, they were last in rushing in the NFL last year. Last. And on the other side, Brian Flores, they brought him in. They fired the DC. They bring in Flores. And Flores, he likes to disguise his coverages. He likes to blitz. He's much more aggressive. That's what I'm expecting you to see in this game here, especially because we've had vanilla preseason where the coaches don't show you shit. They don't. They admit it. It's very vanilla. So you're not going to see, and this is a new defense, so you don't have anything on tape. And you got a new Buccaneer offensive line. Now, this stat is deceiving. The Buccaneers gave up the fewest sacks last year in the NFL. You know why? Because the GOAT didn't want to get hit. And he even admitted it once the season was over. It's hard at 45 years old to take those quarterback hits. He already got rid of it fast, and he got rid of it faster because he didn't want to get hit. So, of course, the Buccaneers weren't giving up sacks. You don't have that now with Baker Mayfield. And again, totally different offense. A lot of movement. A lot of waggles, a lot of rollouts, reverses, Quarterback is throwing on the run, movement. He's not standing there like Brady did. So it's a whole different ball game. Let's see how this first game goes. Tristan Wirfs from that left side, he is going to go up against Danielle Hunter. Hunter is hunting. He led Minnesota in sacks last year with 10.5. 53 QB pressures. He forced 3 turnovers from pressures. He roams both edges. He's tough as hell. So, you know what? They may keep him on the right side with Gedeki. It depends on how they feel. Do they feel Gedeki? Hunter can do more damage with him, or on Mayfield's blind side going up against Wirfs in his first NFL real game as a left tackle. And Rashad White, very confident young man. I've interviewed him and seen him a couple of times this offseason. I talked to him on the side. He was there with his little daughter at a bowling event at Pin Chasers with his agent, his people. He's very confident. Listen, he took the job from Playoff Lenny last year. But let's see. The Vikings up front, it's going to be Dean Lowry. It's going to be Harrison Phillips. And Brian Asamoah is damn good. So those are just like some of the matchups, you know, that I'm looking forward to seeing. One more thing that I wanted to... Oh, no. I was looking at my notes here. Just if there was something else that on my under the rock. And no, the main thing that I wanted to bring to you guys today is talking to players in the locker room, watching at practice. It doesn't seem much different than last year. Now, maybe behind the scenes, stuff that we can't see, there was a lot more bickering that went on that we're starting to find out after the season. A lot of it came from Todd Bowles and Leftwich were not on the same page. Leftwich was a Bruce Arians guy and a Bruce Arians hire. Todd Bowles told him certain things. Leftwich was going to do it his way. And Bowles ended up cleaning house with the offensive coaches. And he knew he was going to do it as early as October. So, and you also had the GOAT. You're not going to go against the GOAT. So, I mean, it was bad. Yeah, they were 8-9. Yeah, they won the NFC South. We knew that that was a joke. And so I go by the lunchroom. I'm in the hallways. But again, you really can't tell. The players say that there's been more energy in the building, especially with this Canales when he came in. We'll see. We'll see how this is going to translate to W's. That's the biggest thing. That's the number one thing. All right. Why don't we go over and check out on the Vikings side? How are we doing here in time? 33 minutes. I don't want to go too long before you get you pumped. I'm trying to get you pumped up, get you detailed. 13-4 last season. You know what? It's 13-4. 13-4. Could be a little deceiving. I'll tell you what, man. They beat the Colts when they were down 33-0 at the half. Who does that? They lost at home the wild card game to the New York Giants. They lost a couple of veterans. Adam Thielen, gone. Running back Dalvin Cook, gone. Defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson. Corner Patrick Peterson. Kendricks, their linebacker. They traded pass rusher Za'Darius Smith. So those dudes are gone. What's new? What's new with the Minnesota Vikings? Well, I'm going to tell you. Justin Jefferson is their stud. Jordan Addison. That's you know, this is a rookie now in his first NFL game. Okay. And this is up to the Buccaneers to take care of this kid. Show him. I remember Leonard Fournette last year told me that he told Rashad White when they were having a joint practice, he goes, "Watch out for this. You're going to get some guys that are going to play dirty." Oh, yeah. This shit goes on. They're gonna hit you after the whistle. They're gonna try to get in your head. They're gonna come at you. They're gonna come after your leg. They're gonna do stuff. And like, this is the stuff. This is up to the Buccaneer defense to put a message to this kid that you're in the NFL now. Play head games with him a little bit. You know, I know he's number one overall, but this ain't college. This ain't USC. This ain't the funk Pac-12 or whatever the hell it is. So get in his head a little bit. The sports books have the Vikes at something like 8.5 wins. Again, it's hard to get point spreads and things like this when it's the first game of the season. Also, sometimes the tackling is a little sloppy because these guys within the NFL collective bargaining agreement, they're not allowed to tackle during the regular during practices. So, you know, I'm doing the best that I can to give you what I got to watch out for. Now, the Vikings with the 13 wins, I think they were 0-3 in preseason. I don't go hardly at all. I don't put too much stock in the preseason records. But I will tell you this. I remember this. When Bruce Arians came to the Buccaneers, and I'm sitting in that post-game room, and he came in, and he when they lost, he was pissed off. Even if it was preseason and you're playing a lot of second and third stringers, he was pissed off. And a lot of times he would reference the loss or the score. And I remember asking him one time, and he's like, I gotta get it into their heads. It's about winning. That's what matters more than anything else. Preseason, joint practice, winning. That's what matters. Pissed off when you lose. And so that's how he looked at it. Now, the Vikings were 0-3 in the preseason. But again, a lot of these teams, you look around the league, some didn't even play. There's a good chunk didn't even play their starting quarterbacks at all. A lot of the starters play less and less. They're going to count on what I mentioned. You know, Dalvin Cook is gone. They have a fifth-year running back. I'm talking about Myles Gaskin. But he was the third round pick? Alexander Mattison, you know, what's he going to bring? He's not a Dalvin Cook, okay? They did sign the veteran running back Myles Gaskin. He can hit the hole fast. He's a good blocker. They fired their defensive coordinator, like I said. They bring in Brian Flores. They brought in edge rusher Marcus Davenport. I know that name rings a bell for you guys. But it was not a good secondary last year. And the Vikings, with the 13 wins, they won 11 one-score games. They got it done. They got it done. It's still 13 wins. But they were tight. They 11-0 in games decided by 8 points or less, minus the 3-point differential. No other 12-win NFL team was outscored over the season, let alone with 13 wins. So it was 13 wins, but it certainly was not a juggernaut, this Vikings team that the Buccaneers are facing. Flores, I've listened to him now. His deal is, he said, I like to be aggressive, but not reckless. All right? There was miscommunication in that Vikings secondary last season. They did not blitz last year. They were very, very passive. In yards allowed, the Vikings defense was dead last at 31. The Vikings have not addressed. Did they really address their pass rush, their front seven? So I'm not sold. And the fact that the Buccaneers are going to have so much movement in this offense, this is a pretty decent opponent, I believe, for Baker Mayfield to start against. I do. When you look at their front seven, you look at their defense, they're going to have some glitches. It's not going to be like a well-oiled machine playing an entire game when these starters haven't played that much. So Baker Mayfield, here you go. Now, Mayfield told us that, you know, we asked, when did it start clicking for you to know I'm the starter, I want it, I'm feeling good? He said it was the third preseason game with the Ravens. The offense was, everybody was on the same page. They were moving the chains. That's when he started saying, now I'm feeling it. We're feeling it pretty good. Canales on the whole QB competition, because again, I know we have a lot of Kyle Trask fans in the audience, but Canales told us it was after, when did he know that the starter should be Baker Mayfield? He said it was after the first preseason game, and he admitted that Kyle had had a better week going into that first preseason game. We all saw it. Baker Mayfield, it was just one of those, maybe the heat was getting to him. He said he has never experienced anything like this. And this was also the worst summer on record in Tampa Bay. I know Lee from Joe Buck's fan. Oh, it's hot all the time. It's hot every summer. I like the heat. Least I'm against you. Screw you, Lee. It was hotter than freaking the Suns this year. And did you hear what Brady said the other day? He said, the one thing that I do not miss is putting on that heavy helmet and sweating in 100-degree heat. I don't miss that at all. It was brutal, and Baker Mayfield was not used to that. He told us in June, there was a reporter from Fox 13, Kevin O'Donnell, he goes, it's not even all the way that hot yet. He goes, don't tell me that. He looked right at O'Donnell, he goes, don't tell me that. Like, you're not used to that. So Trask, there was 1 week during training camp, and it was the doldrums of training camp. Trask was better. And so they have the first preseason game, and then when they came back, they had an indoor practice. And he said, this is Canales, that Mayfield hit Mike Evans on a 67-yard post, and he's like, that's my quarterback. There you go. He said he told Mayfield, you don't have to make a lot of big plays. Just be special in small moments. Like when the big one is there, or when it's time to take that shot and you might have one-on-one coverage, you hit that. Other times, chip away, hit the open man, get out in space, call the plays, like moving it, throw the defense off. You don't have to be the big time play. That's what Canales said. What was it? The offensive players, Hainsey, what he saw in the Ravens game, played as a group. Oh, yeah, when we were talking to Hainsey, he said the same thing. I think the guys thought that third preseason game on offense, things were starting to click. Hopefully that will carry over in this game. They got to run the ball to win. And they got to run. Oh, and one of the coaches was telling us, it was either Thursday or Friday, saying that it's a group, man. It's like, it's got to be a well-oiled machine. And there's a, you know, so we'll see. We will see. I will say this. I didn't think it was a very hard training camp, maybe because it was so damn hot. I was talking to one of the reporters that also covered the New Orleans Saints. Do you know that the Saints only practiced 1 hour outside every day? And then they took it inside. That was what their strength and conditioning coach, and they have all these coaches that do all these studies. The Buccaneers hardly ever went inside. They stayed outside in the brutal heat all training camp. So maybe that's why it was hard enough just being out there, but it didn't seem like it was that hard. And again, I never saw like tackling practice. They just don't do it. I did notice right from the start, right from minicamp, right from OTAs, Baker Mayfield kind of asserted himself as being the number one when it would come to drills. He would always run out first. Or when they're doing their long, the line, when they do the calisthenics and they're doing their sprints or their runs, they're getting loose, he would always jump ahead of Trask. Like in his mind, he was asserting himself, I'm the number one guy. This is not to say, I'm not here to bash Trask at all. Trask has some damn good qualities. He looks a hell of a lot better than he did when he was a scout team quarterback of the last 3 years under the GOAT, 2 years under the GOAT. But that's just not Trask's demeanor. Like, he's not having a feel. But that's what I noticed. Like, Mayfield's a little cocky. He's got the swagger. And he knows he's got the chance. He's a starter. I did not see Bruce Arians One day, I never saw him. I never saw him at minicamp. I never saw him at OTAs. Never saw him at the games. He's gone. He's gone. And even the GOAT, Brady, mentioned it on his podcast. He said that it's only a 40-minute flight. I'm going to go up there and check out my boys a couple times because Brady has been nowhere near. Sage asked Baker Mayfield, did you get a text from Tom? And Mayfield goes, nope. And that's okay. That's fine. And he doesn't, I don't even think he knows Mayfield. But Arians, I believe he's still on payroll. But I just know that he was more of a Leftwich guy. He's a very loyal guy. I don't know what's there. But Brady even said, he goes, and Bruce, oh, Bruce is gone now. And that's what Brady even said. So he told us at his big charity event that I was around too much. You know, it's Todd Bowles' team. But apparently, whatever it is that has, he's gone. Bruce Arians is no longer there. One quick thing, and we'll wrap this bad boy up. The joint practices. That was very entertaining to go see the Jets facility, to see the 5,800 fans, J-E-T-S, Jets, Fireman Ed, Aaron Rodgers. I really watched a lot. Now, they had two fields going. The Buccaneer defense, even Shaq Barrett was really light on his feet that day. They were getting to Aaron Rodgers quite a bit in 11-on-11. Which would have been sacks. Again, they don't allow it. You can't hit the quarterback. Can't put him on the ground. But it wasn't only, so I was like, wow, is the Buccaneer defense that good? Or is the Jets not that good at protecting? And I talked to some of the beat writers that were there. It's been a problem. It's been more than just this one joint practice that, they're getting, the defense is getting to Aaron Rodgers. The other thing that I really did, it stood out to me watching Aaron Rodgers against the Buccaneers that day. He throws it away a lot. Like, I don't see that with Mayfield. I didn't see that with Trask. You don't see them just like totally throw it away. He lives for another play. He's been around so long. His release is short, at times sidearm, and so quick. It's Brady had a longer release. Aaron Rodgers is quick, and he's still, boom, it's on the line, boom, real quick, knows what he's doing. I'm like, wow, that stands out. So it was neat to see. I thought it was a good experience. I know for a fact that the Buccaneers were pissed off that Saleh called off day number two. You go up there with all your staff, all your machines, your equipment, everything. You're all set for 2 days of practice in the Jets facility. And then days before, you're like, no, we're not going to have it. We're going to cancel day number two. And then they're scrambling around for a high school field. And then the Giants came through and said, you can practice at our facility. And Arians, I mean, Bowles is like, oh, we'll get our work in. And it was a very light practice the day two at the Giants. It was kind of like a walkthrough. But I think all in all, it was a good experience. They bonded a little bit. They get to go into the, you know, to a different hotel, different environment. It was maybe in the 70s to get away from that heat. All in all, I thought it was a good experience, but I know that they wanted 2 days. All right. I tell you what, that's going to be about it today. I mean, how much more can I break down? This is game number one. This is game number one. This is my game. There's been no preseason. The Joes and myself, they elected, no, Rock, you don't need a preseason. Just do your training. So I did my preparation. I went to the joint practices. I went to practices during training camp. I've gone in the locker room. I've been to the practices. I've done my research. That's my training camp. Okay? I didn't have a preseason. We start regular season. We start today. I hope to see you out at Big Storm Brewing. Big Storm Brewing, 49th Street, Clearwater. Let's do it. Let's you, me, and the Sage party. Let's enjoy the hell out of this game. And I want to thank Joe Bucks fan, the biggest, baddest, badass, best Buccaneer website in the world. That's where you go for your entertainment. That's where you go for your smiles and your laughter, because they crack me up at times between captions, pictures, and the information. And it's so fast and it's so plentiful. I must check that thing 15 times a day. How about you? All right, this is Bucks Kickoff. I am honored to be back for another year. Enjoy the game, Bucks fans.